You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. My, have I got a message for you this morning. You're going to love this. You know, we've been teaching on the supernatural for several weeks now. We taught on the baptism of the Holy Ghost for a few weeks. We taught on the supernatural, starting out on the supernatural, and just went into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We had five people baptized with the Holy Spirit one night, and we've since then had several others, some in the youth that were baptized with the Holy Ghost, different ones. God's really been moving. We had two water baptisms just Wednesday night, and already had someone get right with God this morning. I haven't even given the invitation yet. So we're excited. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read to you just a few verses here out of the 12th chapter. I don't know how far we'll get. I'm hoping to get through the 10th verse, maybe not in detail, but just get there. You know, the church was born in the supernatural. It was birthed in the supernatural. You and I were birthed in the supernatural. In fact, what happened to us as a Christian, to become a Christian, we had to be born from above. We had to be born by the Spirit. We are a work of the Spirit when you think about it. You must be born again, is what Jesus said. Not from beneath, but from above. That's a supernatural thing. Jesus being born of a virgin is a supernatural thing. His life and ministry was supernatural. Miracles, signs, wonders. His resurrection was supernatural. Hallelujah. The coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 was supernatural. The pouring out of the Spirit, and they were all filled with the Spirit, spoke with other tongues. And then, of course, we see that again in Acts 8, and Acts 10, and Acts 19. We've covered that in great detail. And so, you see James, John, you see Peter and Paul, you see the early church, the early disciples, just bathed and immersed in the supernatural. I mean, in the book of Acts, they start right out, and a lame man's healed, the gate beautiful, and a great revival takes place because of someone that's healed there. Miracles are always supposed to be a part of the gospel. They're always supposed to be a part of the church. Miracles, signs, and wonders. But if we move away from the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which many churches had. Good people love God going to heaven. You're saved because you're washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. But if we move away from the Holy Ghost, we don't move away from salvation. We don't move away from going to heaven, but we do move away from the power of God. We move away from the miraculous. We move away from healings. We move away from the anointing. Hello. And I don't want to do that. How about you? I want to stay in the middle of it, in the thick of it, because God's in the thick of it. God's a supernatural God. In fact, you can't represent totally, you could not totally represent a supernatural God without supernatural manifestations. This is why Jesus told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he said, you shall receive power. He didn't say they'd be saved. They were saved. They already believed in Jesus. He'd already risen from the dead. He'd already paid the price for their sins. And they'd already confessed him as Lord. Thomas said, my Lord, my God, way back when he appeared to him, you know, after the resurrection. But they hadn't received the power. Everybody say power. Power. You know, I'm amazed at the church. Most churches are aware of the devil's power. We're aware of supernatural things outside the church, but we're totally ignorant of supernatural things that should be within the church. We know all about witches. We know all about psychics. We know all about fortune tellers and seances and all those things. We're aware of that. We see that on the news and on television programs, and they use psychics sometimes and with detectives to find people. It's just amazing how we go to no end to receive the supernatural outside of the church, but we would never even venture in the church to find the real supernatural that's in God and the Holy Spirit. And he starts out here in this 12th chapter, first verse. Y'all with me? I won't keep you on, but I'm going to keep you long enough. Hallelujah. First verse says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I think that's amazing. He's talking to the church, and he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, the church at Corinth did not have a problem believing in the gifts. They were immersed in the gifts. I mean, they were a church that really did move in the Spirit. But what they were ignorant of was the use of the gifts, the way to use the gifts. They were ignorant of the proper order in the church and maybe some definitions of what they were. I think the church as a whole today, not us, not our church, not churches like ours, and I don't say this mean-spirited, goodness gracious, I'm pro-church, but I think one of the problem with the church today is twofold. Not only are we ignorant of the gifts, how they should operate, we don't even believe in them in most churches. Now, Paul wasn't addressing that because they did believe in them. But in many churches, we don't even believe in them, period. And boy, God forbid that's the case. This is obviously, it's a given that they believed in them. It was a given that they had them. It was understood that they all knew they were real. He was just giving them some insight and understanding on how they should operate in the church. That's what this is all about. I think that's interesting. He didn't spend a lot of time trying to convince them that gifts were real. They all believed that. The early church was a charismatic church, Pentecostal church, full gospel church. The early church started with the supernatural, speaking in tongues. Paul spoke in tongues. Peter spoke in tongues. The Virgin Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary spoke in tongues. Are you with me? All the early church people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And all the writers of the New Testament were baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. So that was just part and parcel that went with it. They understood the supernatural was real. There wasn't an issue of whether that was real or not. They needed some education on how they should operate in the church. I think that's significant. Because we can believe in the gifts and still be ignorant of them. Hello? We can even have the gifts moving and still be doing it wrong. No, not possible. Well, I guess so. That's why he wrote this. Because they were doing it wrong. And they needed order. Are you with me? There has to be order. So just by virtue of believing in the gifts and having the gifts doesn't mean you're automatically going to do it right. I mean, obviously we won't do it right. That's why we have the scripture tell us how to do it right. Got two amens, a nod, and a yep? Okay. Now concerning spiritual gifts, this word spiritual is the Greek word pneumatikos. That just means spiritual things given or gifts of the Spirit. Pneumatikos, pneumatic. Anybody got any mechanics in here? You know what pneumatic tools are? Tools that operate by air. Pneuma is spirit or air or wind or breath. And so matic is something that operates by pneuma, spirit, air, or wind. Pneumatic tools, power tools, air tools. So he's saying this. He says, I wouldn't have you, now concerning things that operate by the Spirit. Now, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant of them. You know, something that's automatic, autos is a Greek word for meaning himself or of itself. So something that is automatic runs by itself. Amen? Pneumatic, automatic. Hey, here's a good one. Charismatic. Charis is the Greek word for grace. So really, if you're literally interpreting the word, when you're saying you're a charismatic, you just mean you operate by grace. Or things that operate by grace. The gifts were gifts. They were graces. They were charismas is what they were, is the Greek word. And so if you believe in that, you're called a charismatic. Or you're related to Pentecostal, because of the Pentecostal experience in Acts 2. Okay, so I got you educated in Greek. Everybody speak Greek now?
Yes.
Okay, it's not all Greek to you now, right? You got it. Now, concerning spiritual or pneumaticos, spiritual things, things operate by the Spirit, I like this. Amplified says, special endowments of supernatural energy.
Woo!
Woo-hoo! That's a good one, isn't it? Okay. Special endowments of supernatural energy. That's what they are. They're not natural. They're supernatural. They're things that come out of heaven, coming out of the Spirit, that come by the Holy Spirit, not by the natural. Things that you wouldn't know any other way or couldn't do any other way. Things that separate us from the natural. Things that give glory to God, not glory to us. If these were natural gifts, they tend to give glory to us. But if they're supernatural, they'll give glory to God. Amen? All right. So he says, now concerning these pneumaticos, spiritual gifts, things of the Spirit, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Well, hallelujah. I don't want to be ignorant either. Good question is, how ignorant are you of them? No hands. I'm not pointing any fingers. Okay. But isn't it amazing that we can go to church all of our lives or serve the Lord, know the Lord, love Jesus, and yet not know the first thing about the gifts. And yet he says, I would not have you to be ignorant of them. And devoted three chapters to it. What we call the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it's about the gifts. It really is. It's about how to operate in the gifts. That's the whole point of that love chapter, is the more excellent way, the way to use the gifts. Not a replacement for the gifts. It wasn't either or, gifts or love. No, it says gifts with love. And if I do the gifts without love, I'm sounding brass and tingling cymbal. So the way to use, see, love never replaced the gifts. Love was how you use the gifts.
Yeah.
That's the point he was making in the 13th chapter. He wasn't saying, just do this, you'll be okay. No, he's saying, use these gifts this way, and you'll be okay. Don't exalt yourself. Don't draw attention to yourself. Don't promote yourself. Love with the gifts. Don't blast people. Bless people. Amen? That's what he was saying. See, that was the whole point. Okay, so spiritual things, we should not be ignorant of them. And I can guarantee you this, you won't pick this up in high school. No, I didn't finish high school. That was before I got saved. I did after I got saved, go back and get a GED, incidentally, because I just felt like I needed to. And the only time I was ever asked for it was when I took another Spanish course later in life. They wanted my GED. They never asked for it. And the kind of jobs I worked on. I believe in education. Get an education. Get you an education. Are you with me? But what I'm saying is that I remember in school, and you know, I was in high school when I got kicked out, but that was before I was saved. And they had good reason. And I wasn't in the wrong crowd. I was the wrong crowd. BC. But I never remember a course on the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe times are different now. Maybe they teach that now, but I don't think so. I don't think you're going to find out about this in school. You're not going to find out about this in most colleges. Are you with me? In fact, not even most seminaries. You won't hear much about this in most seminaries. There's some, but very few. So there it is. It's in the Bible, and we're here in church, and if we're going to hear it, this is where we're going to hear it. Amen? I'm not going to hear it out there somewhere. So if you want to know about it, you're going to have to get in your Bible and probably have to go to church, which wouldn't hurt you a bit. Be good for you to go to church. Amen? I wouldn't have you ignorant of them. Second verse, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. In other words, he's saying, you remember how you were duped? You remember how you were lied to? Remember how you were bamboozled? Remember how you started following all these dumb idols? Everybody say dumb idols? Now, he wasn't just saying they were stupid. He was just saying they're dumb in the sense that they can't hear, they can't see, they can't speak. They're just wood or gold or silver or whatever they were. They're not God. That's not God. That's just a dumb, non-speaking, non-hearing, non-seeing idol. And you were so duped that you were led after those things. You know, you were led by that. You were deceived into it. Hello. Well, we don't want to be deceived. The only way to get out of deception is to get into the truth. So that's why he's teaching, so we wouldn't be deceived about something else. About the gifts. Sometimes we get deceived about those. And have the wrong ideas about those things. So the third verse says, Therefore, I'll give you some instruction, basically what he's saying. So you won't be deceived. So you won't be led away or astray. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Well, we've got some rules here. You know that? That supernatural things that do not glorify Jesus are not from God. Hello? Supernatural things that would actually call Jesus accursed, well, that can't be God. Remember Jim Jones years ago, that Jim Jones guy, Jonestown Guyana cult led several people off down to Jonestown Guyana, and they actually all committed suicide. You know, at one point, he was a preacher, incidentally, of a Pentecostal movement. And at one point, he threw his Bible down and just stood on it and says, I don't need this, you just need to hear me. Well, now, we don't need to be duped. Don't need to be bamboozled. Are you with me? There are some rules. You can't violate that. You'll never violate the Word. Any gift that flows is never going to violate what God says. I remember at Lakewood Church years ago, John Osteen was pastor at that time, Joel's dad. This lady got up and she began to, gave a prophecy. She began to prophesy and she says, oh, my children, I am so glad to be back with you. I've been busy. I've been in Jerusalem for 2 weeks. And the ushers immediately went right up and grabbed her and just ushered her right out. You say, why? She was prophesying. Well, she was lying. God hadn't left, and he's still here. He's everywhere. Even though she said, thus saith the Lord, didn't make it the Lord. Are you with me? So you say, well, how do you know that? She said she had something from God. Well, everything's subject to God's Word. God doesn't violate His Word. She stepped across the line. She said some things that were totally unscriptural. And even in your life, in my life, if a word comes or a prophecy comes or someone has a vision or a dream or feels like the Lord's telling you something, it should be subject to this, always subject to this. Is it real? You better believe it. Do I believe in visions, dreams, And word of knowledge, word of wisdom, personal prophecy, absolutely. But nothing is ever going to violate this. If it does, I'm throwing it away. Are you with me? But I've had a lot of good words that were in line with this. And many words that confirm what God already put in my heart. I like that. That's important too. Don't follow words or prophecies that people give you or visions or dreams they have for you that you haven't already got in your heart, that you're not already being told by God about. Because really, mainly what they do is confirm what God's already said in your heart. And I've had some wonderful confirmations in my life. I mean, and God's used me in that way too, in sharing with people things that I felt in my spirit. And they already had it, they already knew it, and this confirmed it to them. Hallelujah. I just think about last Sunday when Brenda preached. You know, that was a miracle. I'm always trying to get Brenda to minister. She has a lot of word in her. And she's very passionate, loves God. And we talk the word all the time. I mean, I don't know how your family is, but you know, as a husband and wife, you should talk about the Bible. You should believe together and pray together and talk about the word together. Amanda called me last night at 10 o'clock, 9:30. She was so excited. It was a scripture in Isaiah. She was studying there, and she said, "I got to share this with you." We're always talking the Bible. Our family is. And so anyway, Brenda's just full of the word, and I was really wanting her to minister, you know, and more often than she has. And that Sunday, and I shared this last Sunday, I stepped off the platform, and this never happens to me. Many times God will change the message for me. That's no big deal. That happens all the time. But I was standing there, and I knew what I was going to preach, or I thought. I've been studying and thinking about it and praying about it all week. And as I stood right there, I turned around to continue our worship, the second part of our worship, and everything just left me. Now, I don't know how to explain that. It's kind of like peanut butter. If you got to eat, you got to taste it. Can't describe it to you. But I was standing there, and it went, boom, just gone. I thought, whoa. It was kind of a strange feeling. I've had messages change, but I never had just everything leave me. And I was standing there, I said, "God, now what? Okay, that's fine, I won't preach it, but what do you want me to preach? I mean, I can preach anything. Are you with me? I can start anywhere in the Bible and just start, but it's always nice to have God with you when you're doing it. And I want God on what I'm preaching. I want the Holy Ghost. I preach under the anointing, I preach without it, and it's a whole lot better with it. Amen. Amen. So you can study and you pray and get your message together, but you better pray it's what God wants to minister, or you're on your own, okay? I don't like being on my own. So I was on my own there, standing there and said, "God, I don't get this. I mean, come on now. You know, I've got to have something here. This is weird. This is unusual." And Brennan leaned over to me and says, "You know, if you'd like for me to preach today, I have something I'd like to share." Brennan has never said that to me, okay? Never. You understand? Never?
Never.
Never. Never said that to me. Never. So I thought, oh, I got this. I mean, I knew right then. That was like a confirmation. God had dealt with her and risen up in her. Now, don't you come up to me and try that on me, okay? All right? Pastor, I have something I'd like to share today. No. But God had moved on her, and you know what? It confirmed what was in me. It was a confirmation. I knew right then when she said that, oh, that's the Holy Ghost. I know that's the Holy Ghost. Now, you can't fabricate that. You can't make that happen. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? So we thank God for that. And usually when God moves, it is a confirmation. It is dealing with you about something you've already dealt with. You know, I mean, I remember when God told me to come up here and pastor this church, start this church. I mean, Dr. Galloway was having a Bible study, several people meeting together. I even came up and had some meetings, some separate meetings, had three different seminars. Ron Betty, y'all remember those? Several people here, Tina, goodness, I'm going to miss some people, that were here when we started. And back in 1982, I had three Thursday, Friday, Saturday night meetings. I had one in April, I think, in May, and one in June or July. I think something like I skipped one. And God was dealing with me about coming up here, and I didn't want to come up here. And so I thought, well, I'll just go up there. We'll just have a little meeting and put my name in the paper. Nobody knows me. And, you know, I knew Dr. Galloway, and he was really wanting me to come up. And I remember him telling me, you know, wouldn't it be neat, Michael, if you come up here and started pastoring a church? We've got these people here. And I said, "Charlie, I'll never come to Wilson. Never. I'll never come to Wills Point, Texas. Well, anything wrong with Will's point, but I was in a big church already. I was already ministering every Sunday in the auditorium class that had 4,000 people in it. There were more people in the class I was preaching in the whole town of Will's Point, Texas. Hello. And I'd already done a lot of missionary work and was in demand, you know. I mean, I could see my name in lights. I'm telling you. No, it wasn't that bad. But I did have five churches asking me to come pastor. Five different churches wanted me to come pastor. Big churches, established churches already. And you know what? Wasn't there. It just wasn't there. I remember telling one church in the, I don't remember, Tennessee or somewhere east of here, southeast. And I remember telling them on the phone, I said, you know, I appreciate the offer. I wouldn't mind coming minister. I'm just going to tell you right out, I can't come pastor that church. I said, it's not in me. I'd be lying if I told you that. If you had me to come try me out for a pastor, not going to happen. But if you want me to come preach, I'll do that. But I know I'm not supposed to go there. And I would pray and Will's Point would come up. And I'd rebuke the devil. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. And so I'll go up there and have some meetings. So we come up and have some meetings, and man, God began to move, and I was really upset about it. I was thinking, God's really moving here. What am I going to do with this? And I went back to Houston, you know, and come back up, had another three-night meeting, you know, and I teach on things like, you know, healing. It's always God's will to heal. I thought that'd make them all mad, and they'll leave and never come back. Taught on confession, you know, and the authority of man. Subjects that were controversial. I try to stay on controversial subjects, you know. Things that were Holy Ghost stuff, you know. And people were getting saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's people here that got baptized in the Holy Ghost because of those meetings. Bill and Jean got baptized in the Holy Ghost, come out of a Baptist background, and because of those meetings 26 years ago. And then Brother Osteen. I was in the service, sitting on the front row. We had little chairs right on the front row because we were head counselors. We had 175 counselors that we were over. And we'd go down and minister to people that came down to the invitation, you know, and got saved or filled with the Holy Ghost, whatever the case was. And then we would pair up counselors with them and take them to a room. And Bert and I were over the counselors for a couple of years there. And so we were head counselors, and we always sat right up front, usually right across from Brother Osteen. The pulpit was in the round. Anyway, he was up there one day, and, you know, the song service was going on. He kind of stepped off the platform just a little bit, and he says, Michael, come over here. So I walked up. I thought, well, maybe he wants to receive the offering, or because I did that a lot, made announcements and moderated for Brother Osteen quite a bit back then. And he says, you know, he said, I've been praying about this. I really believe God wants you to go up there and start that church in Will's Point, Texas. So now I'm mad at God and Brother Osteen. I said, thank you. And I went back over here. Oh. You know, trying to stay in the spirit. But you know what? That was confirmation. I'd pray, and Will's Point would come up before me. I'd drive in the city limits for those meetings. God's my witness. I would weep when I crossed the line. And I did resist it. I really did. I'm not going to lie to you. I resisted coming up here. Nothing wrong with Will's Point. It really wasn't what I wanted to do. If that makes any sense. But it was what the Holy Ghost wanted to do.
That's right.
It's what God wanted to do. I didn't want to teach when God called me to teach. I didn't want to pastor when God wanted me to pastor. I didn't want to do a lot of things. But you know, I am so glad I obeyed God. I'm so glad I listened to God. And you won't always want to do what God wants you to do either, but you better listen to the Holy Ghost. Because this is supernatural. This thing is a supernatural thing. And it didn't make any sense. I did the math. It didn't work out. Hello. I got the paper out and tried to make it figure out right. Going to leaving Lakewood, go 4,000 people in a class, like start a church. Hello. I had three kids at that time. It didn't make any sense. But God said, do it, and we did it. Ooh, I'm so glad we did. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. I mean, I'm telling you now, on the other side of this thing, there is nowhere I'd rather be. Nowhere I'd rather be than right here. God, it just turned out, and it always turns out this way, God was smarter than I was. And thank God he's smarter than you are. You need to listen to him every once in a while. It'll help you. Amen. But you know what? You can't be ignorant of the things of God. Because if you are, you'll miss God altogether. You'll miss Him altogether. See, God was confirming that to me by the Holy Ghost. And I had enough sense to realize, you know what? This is God. I can't shake this thing. I can't get away from this thing. I could try to do it, but I'm going to be miserable. I can try to disobey this thing, maybe go somewhere else, maybe go for bigger numbers or bigger town or bigger ministry, you know. But this is not, no, I can't get away from this. I got enough sense to know that this is God. And at some point I just said, God, I'm sorry, I repent, I'll do what you asked me to do. I'll do that. And I'm glad I did. Amen? You're not smart enough to disagree or argue with God. I can tell you that right now. He always knows better than you do. Amen? But you need to be smart enough to know the moving of the Spirit, to recognize when God's pulling you somewhere, to recognize that voice. Quit resisting that thing. Give in to it. You say, what if I mess up? Well, make a mistake or two. It won't hurt you. It'll help you. You'll learn from it. I feel like I'm supposed to tell somebody or call somebody up or pray for somebody. Just do it. What the harm? What's going to happen if you miss God? Come on. I tell you, a lot more damage to be done if you don't obey that. Just do it. Are you going to mess up? Sure you will. But you'll hit God more than you miss Him if you stay on that track. You know, if you never pray for anybody to be healed, no one will ever get healed.
That's right.
You know, if you never witness to anybody, tell anybody about Jesus, nobody ever gets saved.
That's right.
In your life. Will everybody you witness to get saved? Nope. Not going to happen. But I can guarantee you nobody will get saved if you don't tell anybody about Jesus. Amen. Will everybody you pray for get healed? I don't think so. I believe now scripturally we've got a promise that God always heals and He's a healer, but I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. So everybody I pray for, whether it's me or them, won't always happen. But you know what? If I never pray for anybody, nobody will get healed. And the more I pray for people, the better the odds are. I get better at it. I get more in faith. The more I witness, the better I get at witnessing. The more I preach, the better I get at preaching. I hope. Hallelujah. Okay. I don't know where I'm going with this message, but y'all stay with me here. Don't know where you're going, Pastor, but I'm with you. Just amen me here.
Amen.
We can stop every once in a while, and all together we can say, where are we? I don't know. No, we want to listen to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Therefore, third verse, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Ooh, I love that. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is always going to exalt Jesus, always lift up Jesus, always glorify Jesus, always. He's never going to glorify you. He's not going to bless your plans. He's going to bless His plans. He's not going to bless what you want to do. He's going to bless what He wants to do. But what He wants to do is always better than what you want to do anyway. And His plans are always better than your plans anyway. You can't see the future. He can't. He's already lived it. He's in it. It's all now to Him. Amen? And so He sees the turns, the corners, the obstacles, and see what you've gone after because it looked good now may turn out to be a bad deal down the road. But if you obey God, He'll lay it out before you like a blueprint and show you which way to go, what road to take. Amen? Okay. Fourth verse says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This word gifts is where we get the word charisma from it. And eventually the word charismatic comes from that also, or we make the word charismatic from it. Charis is just grace. It just means gifts. And so we say it here that there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. That is very, very important. Everybody's different. And even in the gifts of the Spirit, which are mentioned in the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses, they are different. They're all different. But you know what? It's the same Spirit. I love that. But you know, we're all different, but it's the same Spirit. God still loves us all the same. We are not 110 soldiers wearing the same suit, carrying the same weapon, all in step. No, we're not. We're a body. And a body is unique. A body has all kinds of parts, fingers and arms, legs and ears and eyes. And, you know, and some of us are heels. But anyway, that's another story. I'll get it. Okay. But we're all different parts. But you know what? We're a part of the body. We're all part of the body.
Amen.
And when He's talking about the gifts, He wants to make that real plain because sometimes we exalt one gift above another and we should never do that. The gifts should exalt Jesus all the time. Amen. It's always about Him and it's about the body. The gift's not to exalt the one given the gift. It's to exalt the body, to bless the body, to minister to the body, and to exalt Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And there are different? Yeah, well, I like this, or I like that, or I like... Well, get over it. Come on, man. We need everything. We need it all. Everybody ministers different. You know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea.
No.
Or Starbucks coffee. I'm not. No, I've learned to live with that. I sleep real good at night knowing that. That I'm not going to make everybody happy. I'm not going to flip everybody's switch. I'm not going to just minister to everybody. I know that. I understand that. I am who I am. And gifted the way God has gifted me. I have an anointing on me that is going to connect with some people. And you know what? Some people it won't connect with. That's okay. That's all right. There's other people that you can connect with. But the thing is, you find somewhere, you get in church, and you serve God, and you grow.
Yeah.
You're not going to minister to everybody.
That's right.
Everybody's not going to minister to you. That's okay. That is completely all right. I mean, it used to bother me, but I understand it now. It's no big deal. God's got somebody out there that can minister to somebody that I can't.
That's right.
And I can minister to people that somebody out there can't minister to. But it takes all of us to make this thing happen.
Yes.
There's some people I can watch on TV and minister the word. Some people I just got to flip the channel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's just something about them I just can't handle. There's nothing wrong really what they're saying per se. But I don't know. There's a personality or something, you know. Maybe you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
And it'd be wrong of me to criticize that person because their gift is different.
Right.
And we have different emphasis sometimes too in ministry. But he's saying there's different gifts. But it's the same Spirit. And then he goes on, just basically what I just said. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. People have different callings. I mentioned this in the men's breakfast this yesterday, how that I appreciate Dale and Cheryl and all that they do. How they just, you know, they go out to the prisons and they, you know, and go out to the nursing homes. And they have such a heart for people. Not that I don't have a heart for people, but they're able to minister, have such patience with people that they minister to, and the overcomers group that they're so patient. You know, I just want to get somebody lined up, slap them, tell them to do right. If they don't do right, kick them out. Next. I mean, I love people. I just don't have a lot of patience. I mean, I do, but I'm not using it. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. You ever know somebody like that? I mean, they just minister to anybody. It doesn't bother them. I mean, they just sit there with them and just love on them. And I envy that. I really do. Now, I have a calling. Okay? I do count. Stay with me now, okay? It takes a special kind of person to stand up here and preach to you, okay? And I'm good at this because I'm called to this. Get it? But, you know, I'm not called to everything. Tommy is a soul winner. My Lord, what a soul. He witnessed a telephone pole. And probably get him saved, too. I'm looking for one day for a telephone pole to be right here on the front row. Tommy have his arm around him, you know. Just got this telephone pole saved. Tommy's good at that. He has got an anointing. Now, he is just like a soul winner. And, hey, we need that. We got to have all these gifts. We've got all of us make this thing happen. But none of us are all of that. And the church is not all of that. The church is a bunch of us making it happen. And it just amazes me. I love to see how God does things. I mean, the praise, the worship, you know. Tracy up there, what a voice. Man, what an anointing Tracy has on her. I mean, that is just awesome. Bob, Robert blessed us this morning. I wish I could sing like that. I mean, I do in the shower, but, you know. Hallelujah. But you know what? There's difference of ministries. Thank God. But the same Lord. Same Lord. Different gifts, same Spirit. Different ministries, same Lord. We're all in this thing together. Amen? And you know what? I'll take a step out of this for a moment. Let's think about all the different churches in town. There's some great churches in our community. Do I wish they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, moved in the gifts, and believing the supernatural as we do? Well, of course. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be preaching what I preach. But having said that, I appreciate what they do for the kingdom of God and our community. There are people that will always be going to First Baptist, people that will always be going to Calvary Baptist, people that will always go to the Catholic Church, Church of Christ, down the list. If they preach Christ, I'm for them. We're not in competition with them. We have a race to run here. I do believe in the supernatural and the gifts of the Spirit. And a lot of things, there are some differences here, but there's one thing that is common, and that is Jesus Christ, and they are the body of Christ. And thank God they're there. Because there are some people, that's all they're going to do. They're going to do that, and that's good, and they're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen.
And get their lives straight, get their marriages straight, start walking holy. You can do that. Thank God. The gifts of the Spirit don't make you more holy. Now, I think they'll give you power. Amen. Give you power and help you walk holy. Are you with me? But that, their main purpose is to give you power. That's what the gifts are for. The main purpose of the gifts is for the supernatural. So we're not any more holy than someone that doesn't believe in the gifts if they believe in Jesus. They're born again. I believe we've got more weapons, more in our arsenal to help us. You know, but let's get this thing straight. Thank God for good churches. Thank God for great churches. We've got some great ones in our community. We are four churches. And he says this, sixth verse, and there are diversities of activities or operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. What he's saying there is pretty simple. We've got different gifts, same Spirit. We've got different ministries, same Lord. We've got different operations. Everybody doesn't operate the same. Every minister doesn't operate the same. I've seen ministers that are pretty physical, you know, when they're praying for people. I can't do that. But if it gets results, hey, go for it. I've seen Benny Hinn take his hand and just go like this and half the congregation fall out. Yeah. I do that and y'all wondering what I'm throwing at, you know. What's Pastor doing? Benny can go, people fall out, you know. Different operations. I don't understand it. I've seen people hit people right in the stomach. I saw Kenneth Copeland one time hit a girl. Beautiful girl. I tell you, it was Rachel Birchfield. It has Birchfield, Tommy and Rachel Birchfield Ministries. They've got a big camp in Columbus, and I've known Rachel for years. We used to do youth ministry together years and years ago. Years, when I was 10, 5. We used to call her the blonde bombshell because she was a preacher. She'd just preach. But she came up to be healed of something wrong with her stomach, and I mean, hit her right in the stomach. What in the world? And you know what? She got up healed. I never seen him hit anybody else like that. That was kind of a different operation. He said, well, I want to stick to the Bible. Okay, come on up here. I'll spit in your eye. Jesus did that. He made spit. Be healed. Hey, that's a good idea. Anybody need their eyesight improved? Come on up here and I'll spit on you. Well, I mean, there's different operations. People operate different. People preach different. You know, Don Murphy, I love Don Murphy. Don Murphy is a preacher's preacher. But Don Murphy's like this. And I mean, he's fiery. He preaches and preaches the word. Different me. It's just different. I love it. Different operate. He operates different. So we have different operations. Don't be so critical. Listen, God uses that. I know some churches are a little more preachy than others. I'm not really a preacher. I'm a teacher. That's just what I am. If I tried to be different, it would just be an act, and I can't do that. But there are people that are anointed to do that. You see this? And that's the point he's making here. You know, he's trying to get us all in unity here. He's going to teach on the gifts, but he wants us to understand nobody's any better than anybody else. No gift's better than anybody else's gift. Amen? No ministry's any better than anybody else's ministry. In fact, we're all in this thing together. And we all make this thing happen.